to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
Tommy! I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter. So help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W29. 97CH Duran.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Israel crossed a red line when it made thousands of pagers and walkie-talkies blow up across Lebanon this week, says this man, Hassan Nasrallah, head of the Iran-backed militant group, saying there'll be retaliation. By setting up shell companies, Israeli intelligence actually had a hand in the manufacture of the personal electronic devices. That from an intelligence source to ABC News. The Hezbollah leader today says that the group's top leaders had old pagers, not the new ones. Touting higher employment and wages and lower interest rates and inflation, President Biden at the Economic Club of Washington.
I'm not here to take a victory lap. I'm not here to say a job well done. I'm not here to say we don't have a hell of a lot more work to do. We do have more work to do.
Campaign events today. Vice President Harris in a live stream with Oprah Winfrey and Donald Trump attending an event with prominent Jewish donors. This is ABC News. Las Vegas police have arrested a hired hitman who they say killed at least four people from 2021 to 23 and may have been paid to kill more.
Police in Las Vegas say 40-year-old Michael Coleman was a hired hitman for a gang that was fraudulently taking out paycheck protection loans for people during the pandemic, and if the gang didn't get a cut of the money from those people, the gang would hire Coleman to hunt them down and kill them.
And if Coleman couldn't get to the target of who owed them specifically the money, he would target their family members.
Police say he used electronic trackers to know a victim's pattern of life and eventually would use that pattern to murder them. Alex Stone, ABC News.
New calls in Great Britain to change what a pint is, a pint glass, that is. In the UK, a pint is 20 ounces. In the US, it's 16. Health researchers now say using the smaller glasses in the UK could help cut back on beer drinking, since people focus on the number of glasses. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Tommy! I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter. So help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Paul's new drone startup just lost its most genius computer scientist.
We just lost our best genius to some new genius who's got a genius new idea. I'm going to have to find a new genius, or two half geniuses, and fast.
He needs a computer scientist that can keep his startup from falling down.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. A new AARP poll finds Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin leading Republican businessman Eric Hovde 50% to 47%. Pollster Bob Ward breaks down the age differences.
That 50 to 64-year-old age group, the younger side of older voters, is the most Republican group, and they are voting for Hovde by an 11-point margin, Baldwin is winning the senior vote by 8 points. And of course, the youngest voters are the most Democratic, and they are voting for Baldwin by a net of 20 points.
The poll finds 48% of likely voters backing Vice President Kamala Harris, 45% supporting former President Donald Trump, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's still on the ballot after dropping out of the race, at 2%. Wisconsin's infrastructure ranks among the best in the nation.
But the letter grade in a new report from the American Society of Civil Engineers is not an A. Zoe Myers is with Dane County-based JT Engineering.
The overall grade for the 2024 report card for Wisconsin's infrastructure is a C+.
The report card evaluates 17 infrastructure categories. Wisconsin was one of just 3 states to score a C+, the highest overall score this year. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Children ages 12 and older with sickle cell anemia are eligible for a new treatment at Children's Hospital of Wisconsin.
The newly FDA-approved treatment is called Casgevy and works by adding a gene that makes fetal hemoglobin, which reduces the clinical effects of sickle cell disease. Before this new gene therapy was approved, the typical treatment could include daily oral medication and a bone marrow transplant, in addition to transfusions, to remove excess iron from the blood. Physicians estimate that the new treatment will include a 2-month stay. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Severe thunderstorm watch continues for the area. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this evening, some severe, large hail the biggest concern. Partly cloudy overnight, low in the low 60s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, less humid, highs in the low 80s. Paying too much for health insurance? Call 800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. Right now it's 80.
Welcome into AOA. Thanks for joining us here today on Agriculture of America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Today's program brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Optimize your performance by using Cenex premium diesel and premium lubricants. Trust your local experts at your nearest Cenex location to get you the right products for your equipment. Visit your nearest location or go to Cenex.com for more information. Coming up here on today's show, we're going to take a look at the markets in just a moment with Brian Split from AgMarket.net. In segment two, we're going to discuss traceability and ear tags with Ethan Lane, Vice President of Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. And then in the second half of our program today, we're going to have a bit of an open mic style conversation about the ag economy, the ag equipment sector, and much more with Kurt Coffey, the Vice President for North America for Case IH. Really excited to have that conversation. We will get to that coming up starting in segment three here of today's AOA. Let's dive in and take a look at what's going on in the market trade. The Federal Reserve had a 50 basis point rate cut on Wednesday. How is that going to impact the broader markets, the dollar? What could that mean for commodities and livestock? We'll talk about that and more. Joining us now, Brian Split with AgMarket.net. Brian, welcome back to AOA. How are you, sir?
I am doing great, Jesse. How are you today, bud?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. I would just love to start with that rate cut from the Fed, if you don't mind, Brian. Your reaction to 50 basis points and what it could mean for the broader market picture, commodities, livestock, et cetera.
So the rates have been going in one direction for quite some time, and we've got a 50 basis point cut. I think the communication from Powell really wanted to suggest that this was not an emergency cut in any way, shape, or form, and that they did it simply because they could and economic conditions warrant it. But I think a lot of the external critiques of what was done does suggest that the Fed waited too long and that we do have underlying issues. So the stock market really likes it today. I mean, we had the S&P up nearly 100 points this morning before the cash open. So we'll see if the stock market can maintain those gains. But Dow has moved into some new record highs. And for the time being, you've got an awful lot of money on the sidelines right now that's been in these money market funds. And it's probably to the tune of $5.5 to $6 trillion. That's trillion with a T. So there is a lot of money out there that can come into the stocks if that's what the poison of choice is. But we've also have a lot of commodities that are at multi-year lows that could become very attractive from a big picture perspective.
And that's a great point that as we talk in the grains and oil seeds in particular, Brian, you mentioned that money on the sidelines, corn, soybeans, wheat, all feel like they've kind of been getting into a range bound type of trade here this week with the onslaught of harvest. We've been seeing some more soybean activity for China, for instance, from the U.S. and things like that. Some chatter about dry weather in Brazil. Harvest, some yield results coming in, things like that. It just feels like we're kind of in a harvest malaise to some degree with some of that money on the sidelines here, Brian.
Right. I think if we were not directly in front of a large harvest, and with already obviously some portions of the country have started in earnest, the externals right now look pretty good. You know, you had mentioned China buying. We had a really good week of export sales on our weekly tallies this morning, a total of 1.748 million tons of soybeans. China was the lead buyer with 974,000 tons. And China, you know, they were absent for so long. And then in about mid-July, they came in and they started to come in slowly. And those sales have really picked up and they've accumulated quite a bit in the last 2 months. So the export sales targets from the USDA previously did not look attainable, and we knew we were running way behind. And we're really cutting into that difference of where we need to be versus where the USDA is. So with harvest, I think you're going to have a lot of bushels that are going to be priced out of the field. A lot of the producers I talk to, that is the intention, is to sell beans out of the field, raise cash, and store as much corn as possible. So there will likely be some harvest pressure because of that. And I think it's a balancing act right now between that harvest pressure and some of the external forces of fund liquidation and Chinese buying. And it's really the same story for corn, even though the exports this morning really weren't as exciting as soybeans, 847,000 tons, really in the middle of the expectations. And Mexico was the lead buyer this week. And again, they've been our best customer for the last couple of years. But, you know, same deal. I mean, even though a lot of that product is going to go in the bin through harvest, there would be a lot of it that does not have on-farm storage. And there's going to be conversations about what to do with that, sell it out of the field. Do you pay commercial storage? My answer to that immediately is no. I think there's better alternatives. But I think you've got the makings of at least we found some area of value right now as we try to figure out whether these record yields are truly attainable or if we're going to see things trim back a little bit in the next couple of months due to the finish in August.
Couple minutes here, Brian. If you look at all of these charts, whether it's grains, livestock, other commodities, is there one chart in particular that maybe looks more friendly to you or on the flip side looks a little concerning to you? What are your thoughts?
Well, I'll tell you that soy meal has the possibility of a head and shoulder bottom. We've got the structure in place. What is required to fulfill that pattern and essentially make it active is to take out the neckline of the pattern. And so if we could get December meal for whatever reason above the 335-ish area, then that would confirm the validity of that pattern. And that could be something that takes soybeans higher. When you talk about soybeans, right now we have similar to corn, a reversal on September 6th, and that is the high of the month. That's the high for this recovery bounce so far. And so for both corn and for soybeans, that September 6th high, that reversal high is critical to confirm a bottom. If we can push through that, then that would suggest that the, both markets have seen their lows, and we're going to go looking for some bigger picture retracements of the move from the May high to the August low. But the problem right now is we haven't taken out the key resistance for corn or soybeans yet. And until we do that, we do have to realize that we have just bounced, 70 plus cents off of the lows in beans and about 30 cents off the lows in corn. And until we take resistance out, if there's bushels that you need to be managing in the short term, this may be a very key area to let go of those, some of those bushels, and maybe look for some kind of a paper ownership play with a low cost to maintain some upside potential on those.
A lot of great thoughts to consider. Folks can reach out and find more at agmarket.net. It's very simple, agmarket.net. With that, Brian Split, always good to talk with you, sir. Thanks for joining us on AOA today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Jesse.
Coming up next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex, we're going to have a discussion about traceability and ear tags for cattle with Ethan Lane from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. We'll be back with more on AOA, brought to you by Cenex, right after this.
Hey, y'all, I'm Blake Shelton. Being from Oklahoma, I know a thing or two about natural disasters. Tornadoes are common where I'm from and have affected my life and the lives of people I care about. No matter where you live, be aware of the dangers in your area and have a plan. You can create an emergency kit, come up with an evacuation plan, and know where to seek shelter. You never know when a disaster may hit. These simple steps can help save a life. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
If you miss an episode of AOA, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Agriculture of America on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 74% of young producers said they get their most important agricultural information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you're in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farmers.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
AOA today brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. Protect your equipment and achieve better performance with Cenex. Visit Cenex.com or your nearest Cenex location for more information. Joining us now for a conversation, always great to talk with Ethan Lane, Vice President of Government Affairs with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Ethan, thanks for the time. It's good to hear from you again.
Jesse, my friend, it's great to hear from you. Great to be on your show. Happy to talk about all the different issues our producers are dealing with around the country.
Absolutely. I think one of the big ones that we need to highlight here in this conversation is traceability. It's one that has been a hot topic here in recent months. There's been some movement around this. It's been a contentious topic, I would say, at times. So let's just kind of start. What is the latest of what producers need to know about traceability right now?
So the latest action and the reason we're hearing about this so much is because this rule from USDA that's been discussed since the Trump administration and before to transition traceability, animal disease traceability for a small portion of the cattle herd to electronic ID is going to go live as a requirement on November 5th of this year. So they gave a 6-month delay on implementation on that in order for producers and state animal health officials to kind of figure this thing out. And that date is now approaching here in less than 2 months. And there has been a lot of consternation, you know, about the cost of these tags and concerns and fear about what USDA could do with the data from a program like this. Some of that is well-founded concern. Some of that, quite frankly, is you know, being driven by people who have a lot of money to make, you know, stirring up concern on the internet and driving hits to their YouTube channels. And it, you know, I mean, there's a cottage industry here, right? Making people afraid and getting them to hang on the next word. The reality of this is a rule that goes back to 2013. The Animal Disease Traceability Rule identified this class of cattle, sexually intact, over 18 months, moving interstate, as well as some of these other specialty categories, rodeo cattle, bison, show cattle, things like that, and said that that class of cattle that has been traceable since 2013, starting on November 5th, will require official ID that is both visually and electronically readable. So the plain English version of that today is an 840 tag. That's visually readable at 30 inches, right? So it's, you know, holding on to the ear through a chute at arm's length. You ought to be able to read the numbers on that button. And then it needs to be able to be read by those RFID readers. That is basically all we are contemplating here as an industry to comply with this rule from USDA. It's not a system that can ascertain emissions data. It's not a system that can be used to determine the size of someone's herd or the scope of their operation. It is simply updating the technology in the ear tag used to track this one segment of cattle when they're moving across state lines.
Well, I appreciate the clarity there, and you brought up something that I would agree, I think, has been the biggest source of discussion and misinformation and things of that nature. And it's, you know, how is this being paid for? Who is on the hook to pay for these tags, et cetera, et cetera? I think that's probably maybe the number 1A issue that I hear a lot about. Yep. So, I mean, talk about that a little bit more and clear that up a little bit more for us, Ethan.
You bet. I mean, and obviously an electronic ear tag is more expensive than a metal ear tag. I mean, that's mm-hmm. just a fact. And you know, you hear from tag manufacturers and others that, gosh, as this technology progresses, like anything else, right, in technology, it's going to get cheaper at scale and with advances in manufacturing and whatever else. But for the time being, we're talking about a $3 ear tag. And we engaged with appropriators last year, knowing this rule was coming before it was finalized, and asked them for funding at APHIS, USDA APHIS, to make sure that our producers didn't have to bear the cost of these tags. That is in our policy book. That's something our producers around the country were clear about. They want a nationally significant traceability system, but it's important that cow-calf producers are not bearing the cost of implementing that system that the entire supply chain in the country benefits from. They dedicated $15 million, appropriators, to spend on tags for producers to comply with this rule at USDA. USDA took orders from every state animal health organization in the country. So your state vet got to put in an order for however many tags they believe they needed to comply with this rule. And they used a metric based on kind of estimated replacement heifers in order to get to that number. And every state received or is in the process of receiving all of the tags they asked for to comply with this rule, 8 million tags in total. USDA will get those out the door for this first round of compliance this year. And then they'll, as we understand it, order as soon as appropriations gets done again, which obviously is another conversation in today's Washington. But as soon as that's done, they will go back and order, as we understand it, another 8 million tags to go into next year's requirement, obviously, as the as this program, you know, continues to move forward. So it's not a situation where producers should be having to sit at the kitchen table and figure out, gosh, how am I going to pay for these tags? You should be able to go to your state vet if you need these tags. You should be able to secure them from them. Start there and figure out where to go from there. But the idea here is there are tags available in every state for producers to comply with this rule. So start talking to your state cattlemen's association, start talking to your state vet and figure out where to go in state to get those tags. But I don't want producers around the country worrying that they're going to have to come up with extra money to comply with this. We're working hard to make sure that's not the case.
Vice President of Government Affairs with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Ethan Lane, joining us here today on AOA. And Ethan, I think the other big issue surrounding traceability in the cattle industry that you alluded to this earlier as well is that some producers are just that they're firmly against some of this movement to electronic ear tags. They think that the government's going to be, you know, infiltrating their operations with this, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you hear a lot of this talk throughout social media and forums and online and in conversations, you know, at the coffee shop and things like that. I mean, what do you say to folks who are concerned, again, and you alluded to this earlier, that the data is secure, but I mean, what do you say to those folks that are still firmly against going to electronic ear tags because they think that the government's going to have involvement in what they're doing here?
Right. I mean, the shortest answer is that there's no new information here, right? The government has this information already. If you're moving cattle, they know the cattle that you're moving. Changing the electronic means by which they move that information from, you know, a spreadsheet to a database or whatever else isn't creating some new, you know, super weapon that can somehow allow them to take down cattle operations. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be extremely vigilant about data security and privacy. And we like the fact that in this rule, that data resides with your state animal health officials and your tagging veterinarians. It's not going to a big USDA database. We would be hugely opposed to something like that. Our policy makes it very clear. We want private cattle industry driven databases like Cattle Trace, or we want your state animal health officials that we have a lot more faith in than USDA. USDA can only access this information from the state vet in the event of a disease emergency. So you have an outbreak somewhere, USDA is trying to figure out that trace back of movements of a herd, then they can go to the state and the state has to provide that information within a certain amount of time. And that is the reason it's set up that way. But I think it's important for producers to understand with this just as much what it's not as what it is. And you know, that then kind of goes into this, well, what about using it for emissions and things like that? It's important they also remember that in that same appropriations bill that appropriated the funds to pay for the tags, there is language that has been in there for 10 years of appropriations bills that NCBA pushes for every year that says that U.S. government cannot spend federal funds to track emissions from livestock operations. So they are prohibited from doing what people are afraid they can do with this tool. It simply isn't designed for that. And if it were ever to be moved that direction, you know, we hear about incrementalism and slippery slope, and this is the nose under the tent, you would see NCBA and every bit of our resources go to war to prevent that from happening. That is absolutely at odds with our policy book. It's at odds with what our producers have told us they want. And it's a top priority for us to make sure that we are watching this process roll out and that it's only what it's supposed to be and nothing more than that.
Well, as we're up against the clock, final thoughts, Ethan, as we think about this before this rule goes into effect at the beginning of November, what do you want to leave producers with here today?
You know, I know these things can be frightening, particularly in an environment, whether it's the election process that we're watching or whatever else, where it's hard to know where to get good information. It's hard to know where to separate fact from fiction. But I think it's important now more than ever to remember where those sources of information are that are driven by your neighbors, by real producers, by trusted organizations. This is a time to lean into trusting entities and organizations that you know are driven by people like you, and not believe everything that rolls past you on the internet. You know, sharpen that pencil, put your glasses on, make sure you're really paying attention to where you're getting information from, because this is a target-rich environment for BS, quite frankly. And we've got to be really vigilant about that to make sure we're making good choices.
Vice President of Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Ethan Lane. Always good to talk with you, sir. Thanks for joining us here on AOA. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Jesse.
We'll be back with more here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex, right after the break. Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of The Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for The Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
Smart stays on the road. That's why it's in your engine. Because you wouldn't settle for subpar performance. Cenex Maxtron synthetic diesel engine oils give you the smartest oil for the toughest conditions. These premium oils maintain 80% of their viscosity throughout the drain interval for superior engine performance across extreme temperatures. That horizon looks good with the competition behind you. Cenex Maxtron diesel engine oils. Oil that runs smart.
You're listening to AOA.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Wenikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, October milk up 47 to 24.07, November up 33 to 23.16, December up 30 to 21.95, January up 26 to 20.71. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live and feeder cattle markets, mostly higher with triple-digit gains on the day. While cash cattle have not traded, there was a strong trader interest, a lot of risk-on type of buying due to the big jump in the stock market after the announcement of the lower interest rates yesterday. Hogs following suit. There was also some strength in some of the pork cutout values that supported prices. October live cattle up $1.67 to $179.97. September feeder cattle up $2.45 to $2.45.27. October hogs up 20 cents to $82.25. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all were mostly lower on the day. Corn futures lower, a lack of any type of fundamental news to move prices higher, along with some harvest pressure as well. Also, soybeans moving up mostly lower. Again, some harvest activity leading to some harvest pressure. Even though Brazil is very dry to start their growing season, wheat markets mostly lower as well as fresh buying interest dried up and little fresh news to push prices higher. December corn down 7 to 405 and 3 quarters. November beans down 3 quarters to 1013 and a quarter. December wheat down 10 and a quarter.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA Today. Jesse Allen back with you. The show brought to you by Cenex. When your equipment runs efficiently, your business runs efficiently. Cenex premium lubricants help keep machines in check. Minimize your downtime. Visit your nearest Cenex location or go to cenex.com for more information. Well, as we continue here on today's program, it is no secret that there is trouble and headwinds in the ag economy overall. A lot of concern amongst folks in rural America as we go through this current down cycle in agriculture and the ag economy. And it's been no secret that we've seen some pullbacks in various areas here over the last several months, and no doubt we'll probably see more continue. We've seen layoffs at various ag equipment companies, for instance. There's no secret there. And just a lot of talk about the direction of this current ag down cycle and where things end up, especially in the broader backdrop of inflation we've been contending with and much more. So we want to have a bit of an open mic conversation here today and learn what Case IH is doing as we move through this down cycle. We missed him at the Farm Progress Show, but happy to have him join us here today on AOA. He is the Vice President for Case IH North America. Kurt Coffey is with us here on the show. Kurt, great to catch up with you. Apologies that we missed you in person at the Farm Progress Show, but glad we could find some time to have you join us here on AOA today. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, glad to be with you. We missed you at the show, but as we discussed, it's good to catch up here, take a little time, and follow up a couple weeks after the Farm Progress Show. So thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Farm Progress Show got to be a very, very busy time for both of us. And so we juggled some scheduling and made this work here after the show. I'd love to maybe just start there. I know Case was talking about a lot of different things, a lot of exciting products and more. You guys have been rolling out quite a bit here over the last year or so. What were some of the highlights for you at Farm Progress Show, and really just from this past year, of some of the latest and greatest from Case? Why don't we start there, Kurt?
It was an exciting show to move forward in what's becoming a difficult market. We've shown up at the show this year, showing great return on investment across our R&D platform. I'm really proud of partners across CNH because we're going to keep going forward with optimizing productivity across our harvesting platform. So earlier in the year, we launched the AF11, which I've been watching test data coming in daily across the nation. And I've said it a few times, but this truly is the apex. But we came in underneath, I'll call it a squeeze play at the show, with an AF10 and also a corresponding AF9. That's axial flow, of course, the AF, but We really hit the 80-20, if you will, of the industry with these new platforms. And so these are the most important launches that we've had in harvesting for probably a generation. And we're, again, showing our customer base that we're moving forward even in a difficult market. I think without rambling too long, I would say we also showed a full facelift across our Steiger platform, which is our highest horsepower lineup. We lead there. We're very proud of the Steiger platform. And this was unique to me because for many years I had global marketing and we worked on the new design, the new style. It's kind of, visceral at times or cosmetic, but to me it's rewarding because I had been working on some of this design for 5 years actually. So obviously a lot of technology and many other things we can talk about, but I would say those were the top two when it comes to platforms and innovations.
Awesome. Well, and technology and innovation, of course, has kind of been the hallmark here throughout the ag industry. I'd say in recent years, as we've gotten into the 2000s and really seeing a lot of great progress being made. You alluded to this, though, and I think we should talk about it a little bit more in depth, just the troubling ag economy that is out there right now. And I'm sure you heard a lot of this from folks at the Farm Progress Show, and you've been hearing this from folks, and it's no secret that competitors of yours have had layoffs and workforce reductions, et cetera, et cetera. And it's something that I know there's a lot of concern in rural America right now about this overall ag economy. What is your perspective as a leader at Case IH and where things stand and where we're going here moving forward?
it's I don't want to say troubling. It's difficult to see corn at $4 and soybeans at $10. I sold some new crop last week for far lower than I would like. But my take is we have to adjust through the cycles. You know, I don't really remember the 80s. I was a really little guy, but I do remember a lot of neighbors that don't farm anymore from that time frame. That was different because land got hit really hard at that time too. Land by me was 3,000-4,000 and it fell to 1,300-1,500. This change is different. A number of reasons. Land is not backsliding, if you will. Debt to equity in many areas is okay or good if you look at slope charts. And also, you know, like the pullback in 13-14 into 15-16, there was very large overproduction during those years leading up to the downturn that we experienced, you know, multiple years around 16-17-18. So, you know, there was a lot of suppressed demand post-COVID with some work stoppages across us and our largest competitor. And that has allowed this downturn, if you will, to be different than what we saw in the 80s and what we saw in 2015-16. Having said that, our focus is to stay disciplined. Look, if the market is, you know, 1,000 units, but now it moves down to 800, we're going to align our line rates, our materials, and our labor to that level. And you intimated, you know, there's noise out in the market. This is what you and I would do if we ran a company. We would run our line rates and our materials and our labor based upon what the market had. So at Case IH, very focused on staying balanced. This is my number one focus the last 6 months. We can't get pedantic and start worrying and using a term freaking out. We have to be balanced and disciplined. And we've really grabbed our bootstraps and been very disciplined in the way we're partnering with dealers. And I'm pleased with how we're handling this pullback so that when it gets good again, we'll be ready and we'll be better than ever.
How much has inflation maybe played a role here? I know, you know, thinking about where price levels were for new equipment 5 years ago before COVID, 6 years ago, et cetera, compared to now, I know that you've seen a lot of shifts upward here. Cost of materials has been more, et cetera, et cetera. How much of a role is that playing in your guys' business model and what is offered out there for farmers and ranchers?
We have been required for a number of years to pass on significant cost changes, whether that's materials or whether that's labor. I can tell you for a couple of years, we were very much allocating and doing quarterly tranches to be very disciplined so we didn't get caught with an order board that's 15 months deep, but I had material costs I could only see out 3 months, right? So we've had to be nimble and scrappy, as has everybody in the world, because everybody was, you know, hoarding toilet paper and buying ahead. Okay, I'm using a colloquialism here. But what we've tried to do, I'll go back to who we are. We're built by farmers. This is one of our mantras. It's become kind of a tagline around Case IH. Our goal has been to remain disciplined. We, of course, have had to pass on material or labor costs, which has increased prices everywhere, you know, from pickups to food to combines. But you can read our 10K. You can see our earnings. We've had good performance. We've improved basis points here and there in our bottom line. But what we're doing is trying to also be the approachable and straightforward brand where customers see us pass on those costs and prices move, but we haven't gone so far that it's just out of line. I'm a farm kid, and so my brother probably will call me and say, I disagree. But we're trying to, again, stay balanced and disciplined by passing on having sustainability. You know, our dealers know we have to be able to make a certain level of profit or EBIT so we can put back into the R&D pipeline to deliver what we're delivering. And so that's my focus and my commitment to our investment basis and our shareholders as well.
I heard a lot of this from farmers at the Farm Progress Show, and I've been hearing more of it as well with this current economic environment. A lot more folks interested in leasing new equipment. A lot of manufacturers are rolling out new and updated leasing programs. Is that something you're hearing from your customers, more folks interested in various lease programs rather than buying a brand new piece of equipment outright?
I love the question. I'm smirking here. In 2013-14, I was in the parts and service world, and I led CNH Parts and Service, I think, from like 16 to 19. And I watched Jim Walker, who used to lead Case IH at that time, work through 2 years of superb volumes of lease returns. And so why did I say that? Yes, leasing in certain times is more appealing. But what we're doing is making sure that leasing doesn't create market to where then in 2-3 years when those leases come back, we're having to work through an inordinate amount of leases that created market like we saw, like everybody saw. I mean, you can go read 10-Ks from the day. Companies were having to take losses against lease returns because there was market that was created. So short answer, yes. Our goal is, again, to be the reliable partner to customers and dealers. If a lease makes more sense, the beauty we have is our captive, CNH Capital. We can work with them and get scrappy and get gritty. And we've been working on options based on customer feedback. We've rolled some new leasing options out recently with our dealers, and our dealer advisory board has been giving us feedback on the best way to move forward with both purchase, financing, or leasing.
All right. Well, once again, we are having a open mic conversation here today with the vice president of Case IH North America, Kurt Coffey. Kurt, we're going to have you stick with us here as we close out the show in segment four. We're going to continue this discussion. It's been great so far. We'll be back with more here with Kurt Coffey from Case IH on today's AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Protect your equipment and prepare for the unexpected with high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. Learn more at Cenex.com. Back with more on AOA right after this.
Being blind doesn't always look how other...
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you know to check that your seats aren't in the visitor section first before buying tickets.
I'm so excited for this game. I can't believe you got us tickets.
Me too. Wait, are we on the wrong side?
Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds.
This is going to be a long game.
You're in good hands with Allstate.
Savings vary. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
I got my together.
I got my together.
I got my together.
Just say it. You can get your shots together too. Your COVID-19 shot and your flu shot at the same visit as recommended by the CDC.
I got my shots together.
Ask your healthcare provider about getting this season's COVID-19 shot when getting your flu shot if you're due for both.
Are you getting your together?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Falling for losing strategy. Low-rate products promise great results, but may lack the potency of higher active ingredient concentrations, so great isn't always what you get. Instead of putting your yield at risk, put your trust in proven solutions. Anvil Nitrogen Stabilizer and Super U Premium Fertilizer from Koch Agronomic Services. Both offer higher active ingredient concentrations imitator brands can't match. See the difference at defendyourn.com.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Joining us now, Brandon Walter, Corn Portfolio Marketing Leader for Pioneer. Brandon, what's new at Pioneer, and why should farmers be excited?
Yeah, so at Pioneer, we're really excited about the release of two of our newest technologies, Pioneer Vorseed Enlist Corn, as well as PowerCore Enlist Corn. And so both of these new products or new technologies are going to give our farmers more yield, more protection, and more flexibility. So excited to bring those to a field here, both in 2024, but as well as for 2025.
Well, Brandon, let's dive into those new products a bit more. Give me the basics when it comes to yield, protection, and flexibility.
Yeah, so with Pioneer brand Vorseed Enlist Corn, this is going to be a great fit for our customers that have those strong corn-on-corn acres. And so what we're really excited about with this new technology is that it's going to build on the success that farmers have come to know from our Qrome products that they've used previously. And so how it's going to do that is it's going to bring strong yield. So in 2023, we saw a 71% win rate with a 12.1 bushel advantage over SmartStax and SmartStax Pro competitors. From a protection side, it's going to offer our customers three modes above ground as well as three modes below ground for protection, including the newest technology in corn rootworm with RNAi technology. And then as we think about PowerCore Enlist, this is going to be a great fit for our customers from an above ground perspective. So again, a great fit for those rotated acres. And again, is going to give customers that strong yield with a 68% win rate with a 9.3 bushel advantage over the competitors. And then that three modes above ground for protection. As we think about both Vorseed and PowerCore Enlist corn, both of these technologies are going to give our customers lots of flexibility when we talk about controlling weeds in cornfields. So both of these trade packages are going to offer our customers four herbicide tolerance modes of action, including glyphosate, glufosinate, 2,4-D choline, as well as FOP tolerance. So Jesse, the key thing that we're focused on is continuing to bring our customers options and flexibility. And we're really excited about what these new technologies will bring.
All right. With that, Brandon Walter from Pioneer. Talk to your local Pioneer sales rep or visit pioneer.com for more information.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA rolls on today, powered by Cenex. Make sure you protect your equipment and invest in premium diesel to keep your operation running smoothly. Visit your nearest Cenex location or go to cenex.com for more information. We continue our open mic conversation with Kurt Coffey, Vice President of Case IH North America, here today on the show. Kurt, thinking about this as well, we don't have a new farm bill. We have other policy issues in front of us going on Capitol Hill that relate to agriculture. How do some of those issues, farm bill, et cetera, tie into things that Case IH is doing? How does that impact some of your decision making there at Case?
I'm pretty apolitical, but just because of who I am, but I get really involved when it comes to core beliefs or core needs around the farmer and the customer, not only because I am a farmer, most of our dealers are, but I sit on the AEM Ag Sector Board, and so I spend quite a bit of time locking arms, frankly, with competitors to take on industry issues. And so, you know, you mentioned the farm bill. There are a myriad of areas where we'll lay down our paint collar and lock arms and say, this is an existential challenge. I think when it comes to farm bill, you know, I spent some time recently in Milwaukee with members of the House and the Senate talking through this. Mr. Thompson was there talking about what he wanted to do rest of year. And I actually saw that you had written on this either yesterday or the day before. You know, generally, some of the language we're seeing on the ag side, so I'm not going to get into, you know, SNAP and benefits, if you will. But on the ag side, I would say, you know, provisional language and some of the conversations I've had are positive. I'm not going to, you know, get predictive here. But I'm pleased to see that both sides of the House and Senate are taking this issue seriously. I think it's critically important we get a farm bill beyond just continuation funding because, frankly, this is something to where a large operation that has a high leverage or a revolver where their banker is requiring certain provisions with the backstop of insurance, we could have farms that don't have that reassurance if there isn't longstanding farm bill language in place. Furthermore, you know, there's a lot of noise right now on accelerated depreciation. And I think that corresponding to, you know, crop insurance provisions and other parts of the farm bill, I mean, frankly, they're an existential threat to the lifeblood of food production in North America. To me, I extend that to just national security. I mean, if we can't produce food and not have food scarcity because a number of farms are uncertain, this is not the American way. So I'm confident we'll see something. I'm not predicting, We're making our voice heard. We're locking arms with partners across the industry, and I'm confident we'll get somewhere, hopefully by the end of the year, if not right away in early next year is our hope.
Well, I appreciate the thoughts there and the candor, and I'd love to maybe wrap it up with this. Let's look to the future here, Kurt, as we I know there's a number of different things on the horizon here, and technology keeps evolving throughout the ag equipment industry, et cetera. You know, I hear a lot of talk from various companies. More farmers are wanting to see more, you know, here's an example, like on-farm service and some changes to the dealer model and how things are done, things like that as technology evolves and shifts. So things like that, as we evolve and move forward, what's on your mind? What are you looking forward to as we move ahead into 2025 and beyond? Like what's on the horizon for you as you help lead Case IH?
We're obviously continuing to invest to update our platforms on the hardware side. You've seen that all year long. We've launched combines every 100 days. I mean, we're on that path. Parallel to that, we're really doubling down on technology, integrating the Raven acquisition into the CNH house of brands has accelerated our automation features. We're leading in a number of areas. Our combine automation platform still blows my mind. And so we're on the path. As we automate features across the board, we continue to look towards when does this become fully autonomous. I won't predict that, but we're on our way. And it's exciting to see that pathway. I think you touched on service, and maybe I'll lean in there a little bit. You know, I'm the former CNH reman guy and CNH parts and service guy. That's why I lost all my hair. this is core to the virtuous cycle of the customer coming back. And this is why Case IH has been a famous brand for 180 years is because, you know, service built our brand, and that's arm in arm with our dealers. They're our lifeblood. What we're trying to do is overlay technologies and things that customers need to complement the dealer experience. We just launched, I think yesterday, a new tool, an AI tool in service across CNH, where this tool scrapes our knowledge, our publications, our IP, the stuff that we have copyrighted that's, you know, 100-page manual, but also our knowledge. We have an internal tool called Assist. And anytime somebody self-resolves at the dealer level or they call us and we help them fix it, that goes into the knowledge article. Well, it scrapes that. And somebody can quickly just type in, hey, I have this issue. And using AI, we're helping get people up and going quickly. So this is a new tool we launched yesterday. I think it was yesterday. And so technology is not just get in my combine and push corn. And now my 11-year-old is an excellent combine operator. But it's also tools, to me, that complement the number one purchase driver, which is, if I buy this, how is my dealer going to help me with the parts and service to keep it going long term? And so I'll conclude with that. I mean, in difficult times, many customers looked me in the eye last week, 2 weeks ago, and said, we typically roll every year or two. We may defer for another year. That's okay. Let's talk about uptime. Let's talk about upgrade kits, performance kits. You know, we put out best-in-class warranty with extended 5-year powertrain warranty on some of our platforms because we knew this was the economic cycle we're going into. But instead of being alienating and being worried about an industry that's different, we're just leaning into it, saying, how can we complement or partner with that customer and that dealer through those times? And many of those things are value unlocks using technology, and many of them are just doing it the way we always did it. But love what I do here at Case IH, and it's good to spend some time with you.
Absolutely, and we thank you for the conversation with us here today. Kurt Coffey, Vice President of Case IH North America. Thanks again, Kurt. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
Anytime. Pleasure's mine. Thank you. Be well.
And with that, we are out of time on AOA today, powered by Cenex and their premium greases and premium lubricants. Go to your nearest Cenex location or visit cenex.com for more information. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Hi, this is Leanne Womack. I fell in love with country music as a child listening to my dad spin records at a radio station. I always dreamed of hearing my own songs on the radio. I set a goal and achieved it. You can do anything if you set your mind to it. Never let anyone tell you it's impossible. So if you have the chance to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance.
This message brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Deeply indebted to them, and I'm sure they'll be friends and acquaintances for life.
Farm Rescue exists to shine a light on farm families during some of their darkest days. When an unexpected injury, illness, or natural disaster strikes, our volunteers and equipment are here to help free of charge. Farm Rescue is currently accepting applications for haying and harvest assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org today.
Hi, I'm Jenny Garth. I've loved and cared for rescue animals since I was a little girl growing up on a farm in Illinois. My pets have always been some of the most important members of my family. My friends at American Humane have been helping animals for over 150
years. With T-Mobile, you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Because nobody likes having to choose. It's like getting romance and sci-fi.
Jane, I love you.
Also, I'm a robot.
Or being a dog person and a cat person.
Who wants a treat? Who's a good boy?
Or like being an extrovert and an introvert.